Come in, come in. I must apologise for the policeman in the hallway, Miss Morstan. Mrs. Hudson will be quick to inform you this is usually a most respectable household.
Good evening, Mr. Holmes.
I don't believe you know the eminent Inspector Athelney Jones of Scotland Yard, Miss Mary Morstan.
Miss Morstan?
Inspector, I've been hearing all about you from Dr. Watson.
Oh, I told her how I captured the criminal, did you, Doctor?
Something of the sort, yes.
And how I recovered the treasure. Be quiet, you.
You must be Mr. Jonathan Small. Good evening, sir. You knew my father, I believe.
I did, miss. And a fair and true-spoken gentleman he was.
Pray take a seat, Miss Morstan. Mr. Small was about to enlighten us with his history.
I give you my word on the book that I never raised hand against young Bartholomew Sholto.
We know it. Your diminutive accomplice shot him with his blowpipe as he came down the ladder from the secret room. You were still waiting below for the rope.
You seem to know as much about it as if you were there. As wire with little Tonga. But it was done, and I couldn't undo it again. Now, if it had been old Major Sholto, I'd have swung for him with a light heart. But to be lagged for the sun is cursed hard. I had no quarrel with him.
Now, look, just give us the facts, Small, and let us make up our own minds on the matter.
Here.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, if you want to hear my story, I've no wish to hold it back. I can see it's you I have to thank for these bracelets.
Just get on with it, Small.
When I was a lad, I got into a mess over a girl. I could only get out of it by taking the Queen's shilling and joining the Third Buffs, which was just setting out for India. I wasn't destined to do much soldiering, though. I was fool enough to go swimming in the Ganges, and a crocodile nipped my leg off for me. Neat as any surgeon could have done. With the shock and the infection, I was 5 months in hospital for it. And I emerged with this. Him billeted out, and a cripple at 20.
Ganges is pure poison. You were lucky to have recovered at all.
I know it. It's a strange thing. But despite what had happened, I liked India. I had some friends over there, so I stayed and got myself fixed up with a job. And then without warning, the great mutiny was on us. One minute all India was still and peaceful as Surrey or Kent. The next, there were 200,000 black devils let loose.
We all know our history, Small.
Are you going to let me tell this my own way or not?
Yeah.
Carry on.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. I went for safety to the old fort at Agra. It was the nearest city still held by the British. It's a very queer old place, the fort. Full of deserted halls and winding passages and hundreds of rooms where nobody goes anymore. The city was swarming with every kind of fanatic and devil worshipper. But the fort was short-handed when it came to dependable men. Each gate was put under the charge of a white man and a couple of trustworthy natives. I had two Punjabis under my command. Good men they were too. Abdullah Khan and Mohammed Singh. We had the night watch at one of the quietest gates. It was generally peaceful enough. And I never got much in the way of conversation out of my men. So it was easy to let my attention drift. Too easy.
What the devil? Make no sound.
You treacherous.
No sound, or you will never draw breath again. Singh, remove his rifle. Good. I will take my knife away now. Make no alarm if you wish to continue living.
So... you are in league with the rebels, after all.
Mosey, we are loyal and the fort is safe.
And what the devil do you think you're doing?
Listen to me. You must either be with us now, or you must be silenced forever. Which is it to be?
How can I decide? I don't know what this is about.
We ask you to be rich.
Rich?
Is that not why your countrymen came to this land? If you will join with us, you shall be rich. A quarter of the treasure shall be yours.
What treasure? And why a quarter? There are only three of us.
Our companion Dost Akbar must have his share.
I've no objection to being rich. How do I know I can trust you?
One quarter shall be yours, Jonathan Small. I swear it upon the naked knife and by the threefold oath.
That's a powerful oath. One of the highest to seek and swear.
Yes, I knew that well. It showed me how serious the matter this was.
So you betrayed your own people, Small.
No, I did no such thing. Is any more of that whiskey?
Yes.
Thank you.
There we are.
Thank you. I asked them again if the fort and the people in it were in any sort of danger.
And again they said no.
And I believed them.
Are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
The three have become the four.
But I'll do nothing until I know more details.
There is a local Raja with much wealth. He has gone in with the rebels, but he is a careful man and trusts no one completely. Half of his treasure he plans to hide.
Hide where?
Here in this fort.
What?
If the white men are victorious, he can regain it. He has many friends here at Agra.
And many who are not his friends. Are you saying that the treasure is here now?
No. The Raja's trusted servant is due here this night. He brings it.
This man we must kill.
You said nothing of killing.
Consider, Sahib. If this matter becomes known, the man will be hung or shot and the jewels taken by the government. Why should this be, when there is wealth enough there to make us rich men and great chiefs?
Which gate will this man use?
Dost Akbar travels with him. He will lead him here to us. Then we will do what must be done.
They needed my help because they knew they'd never get the treasure inside the fort without someone somewhere turning a blind eye.
You turned your blind eye to a murder.
Yes, I did. And I've had to live with it. That's been punishment enough.
It is finished.
The body must not be found.
A place has been prepared. Come, Jonathan Small. Come and see the treasure.
The treasure. It was blinding to look on. There were 143 diamonds of the first water, among them the Great Mogul.
The second largest stone in existence. Now your Raja was wealthy indeed. I hope you've a trustworthy man with that box, Jones.
Then there were 97 emeralds, 170 rubies, 40 carbuncles, 210 sapphires, 61 agates, and there were gold and silver and pearls, pearls such as I'd never seen. The old major must have had an eye for pearls. The finest set was missing when I recovered the chest. I suppose he sold them or gambled them away.
No, Mr. Small. His son, Thaddeus Sholto, sent them to me.
You've got them? Good. That's very good. Very right.
You are in no position to moralize, Small. Just get on with your story.
You buried the treasure chest in one of the deserted parts of the old fort until the troubles were over and you could retrieve it without exciting comment.
It seems to me you can tell this better than I can.
You drew up a map showing its location.
We had one each. One for each of the four. We swore in our lives that whichever one of us eventually recovered the hoard, he would seek out the other three and divide it equally. And that's how it's always been with me. I said I was with them, and I've stuck to my word. Everything I've done was for the four.
And what went wrong?
Oh, the body was found. We should have burned it. Akbar said we should. And we were arrested. Three of us because we held the nearest gate, and Akbar because he'd been travelling with the murdered man.
Well, didn't the matter of the treasure come out at the trial?
No. The old Raja had long since been deposed by his rebel friends, and killed like as not. So it stayed where it was, safely buried.
What was the outcome of the trial, Mr. Small?
Guilty, miss, all four of us. Penal servitude for life.
At the prison colony in the Andaman Islands.
Yeah, living stinking hell.
Keep working!
You there! Prisoner Small.
Captain!
You're coming with me. Guard?
Sir?
Unchain this prisoner.
Sir?
That was your father, miss. Captain Morstan. He saw me all right. More than I deserved, I dare say. But a white prisoner was a rarity. He got me a cushy job in the dispensary. And I was pretty much given the run of the place, so long as I behaved myself. I knew better than to queer that pitch. I knew when I was well off. I tried to get the captain to make things easier for the rest of the four. But it was more than he could risk. Major Sholto wouldn't have stood for it for a minute.
Major Sholto was my father's friend.
He was a hard man. Bitter. He and the captain were great ones for gaming. The prison officers and the guards were forever at cards or at dice. But old Sholto, he never had the luck.
It's all up, Morstan. I shall have to send him my papers. I'm a ruined man.
Nonsense.
Look, I've had a nasty face on myself or I'd help you out again, but your luck's due for a turn. Ride it out.
I tell you, I'm ruined. What can I do?
Well, perhaps I can put together a little... shelter.
Who's there? Who's skulking in the shadows?
It's me, Major. Jonathan Small.
Now, what do you mean by spying on me, eh? Morstan, have this man whipped in the morning.
Now, wait a minute, old chap. Small, what do you want?
I know where there's 500,000 in jewels buried.
What did you say?
I think you heard me. 500,000 in jewels and gold, and the rightful owner dead.
Where is it?
Hold on, Sholto. Dead, you say?
Hey, it's anyone's for the taking. All's above board.
Are you asking us to bargain with you?
Bargain? With a damn prisoner?
Well, if that's the way of it, Major, I'll be on my way.
But wait. What sort of bargain?
There's only one bargain a man in my position can make. Freedom for me and my three companions.
And in return?
We'll take the two of you into our partnership. A fifth share to divide between you.
A fifth?
50,000 apiece. Easy.
We can't just release you, Small. Or your friends. We have our superiors too, you know. And our oaths.
I don't ask that. Leave a boat and some provisions in one of the coves... And don't report us missing for a week after we've gone. That's all you need to sully your hands with.
You. We'll do it for you, not the others.
All or none. We've sworn it. We act as the four or not at all.
We'll need some proof.
You have our word.
The word of a convicted killer and three black thugs?
Cool down, Sholto. We must consider this. I've a daughter at home to support. You've two sons. Or do you want to resign your commission and go back to them in disgrace?
He agreed, of course. We had another meeting the next night, the two officers and the four. We made them swear the vow, and I gave them each a copy of the map.
I have my father's copy still.
What? I never thought to see that again.
So the captain kept it safe all these years. He would have held to his word, not like Sholto.
Sholto betrayed you.
He disappeared suddenly from the prison. He was the officer in charge. It must have been easy for him to arrange it. And pretty soon news came back to us that he'd gone straight to Agra and dug up the treasure. He wanted everything for himself. His oath meant nothing.
And then he retired from the army and came back home to England.
Yeah, and left us to rot.
Did my father not help you?
No, he wanted to. He was as furious at what had happened as the rest of us. But a new commanding officer replaced Sholto and the captain was helpless. And from that time on, I was wild for vengeance. To track down Sholto, to have my hands around his throat. That was my one thought. I escaped.
You befriended the native pygmy.
He was staunch and true, was little Tonga. A better man than Sholto, for all his savagery. He was brought into my dispensary near to death with a fever, and I managed to save him. He fastened on to me. No man ever had a more faithful mate. He got me away, yeah. In his fishing boat.
How did you get past the guards without a weapon?
Without a weapon? A wooden leg makes a fine club, my friend, if you can balance upright long enough to use it. And Tonga had his darts and his blowpipe.
Yes, we've seen the effects of that little toy.
I told you that was none of my doing.
Look, let's get on with this. You got away from the island and then what?
10 days we were beating about, trusting to luck. And on the 11th, we were picked up by a trader with a cargo of Malay pilgrims. Malay pilgrims have one very good quality, Mr. Holmes. They let you alone and they don't ask questions.
How long did it take you to get to England?
Years. But I never lost sight of my purpose. I dream of Sholto at night. 100 times I killed him in my sleep. And we got here. There was no great difficulty in finding where he lived.
Clearly, you had an informant inside the household.
I'm naming no names.
I still have the gatekeeper and the Indian servant in custody.
Oh, congratulations. You may actually have arrested a criminal for once.
I had a word that Sholto was dying. I went round there mad at the thought that he was going to escape my vengeance.
In a way, he didn't. The sight of your face at the window brought on the final crisis.
Yes. And don't think I didn't enjoy the thought of it. But I had to have the treasure. I broke in and searched for some clue to what he'd done with it, but there was nothing. I left him my calling card.
The sign of the four.
Yeah, so I know the truth of it. The treasure was still intact, hidden away somewhere. Sholto's sons were obligingly looking for it for me. So it was a waiting game.
I scratched a living by showing little Tonga at fairs, the black cannibal. He'd eat raw meat and dance his war dance.
You waited 7 years.
I'd have waited 70. But eventually word came it had been found. And I think you know the rest of it well enough.
No, we do.
So, now you know how badly I was served by that villain Sholto, and how innocent I am of the death of his son. I swear that every word I've spoken has been God's own truth.
A very remarkable account. And now I think we should see this great Agra treasure that has spilled so much blood and caused so much grief.
Well, my sergeant is just outside. Don't you move a muscle, Small. Bring it in here, if you please, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Friend Small threw the key into the Thames, Miss Morstan. But a poker and some brute force will serve just as well. Here you are, Watson.
This is beautiful. It's a shame to damage it.
Benares metalwork. I should be able to force just the clasp.
Go ahead, Miss Morstan. Open it.
This treasure has caused nothing but misery and death.
No longer. Open it.
Very well.
No, this is no laughing matter. Where is it? What have you done with it, Small?
I'll put it where you'll never lay your thieving hands on it. No living man had any claim on that treasure save the last members of the four. And if we can't have it, then no one shall. It's at the bottom of the Thames with my poor Tonga.
Then the treasure is lost forever?
Forever.
Thank God.
Now, this is a very serious matter and it will go against you, thwarting justice like this.
Justice? What justice have I had? All my companions, justice.
Well, Mr. Holmes.
Well, Inspector.
You are a man to be humoured, there's no doubt. And we all know that you are a connoisseur of crime, but duty is duty, and I must be getting on with things in a more official manner now.
Of course you must. Thank you for your indulgence, Jones.
Take the prisoner away, Sergeant.
Right, sir. Come on, my lad.
Get your hands off me. I'm coming. Well, miss, gentlemen, a very good night to you.
Mr. Small.
Miss Morstan.
I'm very pleased that you did what you did. Thank you.
There's much of your father in you. He was a good man. I'm glad you got the pearls.
Thank you.
When you wear them, remember the four.
There's a light still on. Mrs. Forrester has waited up for you.
She can hardly be expecting the tale I have to tell.
No. Miss Morstan?
Yes, Dr. Watson?
The last time we stood here together, there were many things I wanted to say to you, but could not.
I knew you were troubled. I offered to help if I could.
You cannot know how much that offer meant to me.
Are you troubled still?
No. No longer. Not since you opened the treasure chest and found it empty.
There were two detectives in that room. But I'm sure that neither of them observed what I observed at that moment.
They were concerned about the jewels.
While I cared nothing for them. And so only I heard you say, thank God. Why did you say that, Dr. Watson?
I think you know why.
I think I do, but I'd like to hear you say it.
I said, thank God, because with the treasure lost, you were within my reach. Because at last I could tell you that I love you, Mary. I love you as truly as ever a man loved a woman.
Then, my dear John, I say thank God too.
Come in, Watson.
you've gone to bed. Why on earth are you sitting in the dark?
Oh. You delivered her safely home?
Yes. Well, that's the end of our little drama. I'm afraid.
Are you?
I'm afraid it may be the last chance I shall have to study your methods. Miss Morstan has done me the honor to accept me as a husband in prospective. Holmes?
I feared as much. I really cannot congratulate you.
Have you any reason to be dissatisfied with my choice?
Oh, not at all.
Well, then.
Love. Love is an emotional thing, and whatever is emotional is opposed to true, cold reason.
Which you place above everything else.
Of course. I should never marry myself.
I should like to see the woman who'd take you on.
Lest I should bias my judgment.
I trust that my judgment may survive the ordeal. You look weary.
Yeah. The reaction is already upon me. I shall be as limp as a rag for a week.
Still, what a case for the annals, eh? The sign of the four.
Another tale of mystery and romance from the colourful pen of John H. Watson.
Starring the incomparable Sherlock Holmes.
So what will you do? You go into practice?
Yes, I suppose so. It'll seem strange. After this?
Well, I wish you joy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, now that it's all over, the division seems rather unfair. Jones gets all the credit in this business. I get a wife out of it. What remains for you?
For me, there still remains the cocaine bottle.
That was part two of The Sign of the Four by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatised in two parts by Bert Coombs, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. Jonathan Small was played by Brian Blessed, Mary Morstan by Moya Leslie, Inspector Jones by Sean Probert, and Khan by Amarjit Dew. Anna Cropper played Mrs. Hudson, Alan Dean, Wiggins, Michael Kilgariff, Major Sholto, John Bull, Singh, John Moffat, Sherman, Elizabeth Mansfield, Mrs. Forrester, and Vincent Brimble, Jacobson. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Alexander Balanescu. The Sign of the Four was directed by Ian Cotterill, and the producer was David Johnston.
Sake, keep still, Elaine.
I'm too excited. Well, if I don't get this fixed, it'll come adrift halfway through the ceremony.
Oh, serves you right. There. Now you look perfect.
Oh, I'm going to miss you, you know that.
Oh.
Vicky.
Oh, now look what you've done. Creases everywhere. There. And now you can open this.
I haven't time, I told you. Put it with the others.
Oh, still wrapped up. You've plenty of time.
Oh, Vicky,
Well, give it to me then.
Here.
Thank you. People are so generous.
What is it? What is it?
I don't know yet, silly. There.
Elaine! What's wrong? What is it?
The Norwood Builder by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Peter Salis as Jonas Oldacre and Donald Gee as Inspector Lestrade. The Norwood Builder.
London's become a singularly uninteresting city since the death of the late lamented Professor Moriarty.
I hardly think you'd find many decent citizens to agree with you.
Well, I mustn't be selfish. Yeah, the community is the gainer and no one the loser. Save the poor out-of-work specialist whose occupation is gone. The cab!
Out of work? You've had 5 cases in the last 6 weeks.
Routine affairs. The cab! That's what the world's been reduced to, Watson. Petty, humdrum routine.
What are you working on, MacFarlane?
The fence and green papers, sir.
Leave them.
But, Mr. Graham, I do
Leave
have
them. To... Come to my office.
Sir, those papers have to be ready by the end of the week.
Don't tell me my business, Mr. MacFarlane.
Of course not, sir, but I simply meant that... Oh, I do beg your pardon.
No apologies necessary, lad. A pleasure to make your acquaintance. How do you do?
I'm very well, sir, thank you. And you too, I trust.
No complaints, lad, no complaints. Jonas Oldacre of the Oldacre Building Company, Norwood. My card.
Thank you.
One of the busiest concerns in that part of the world, and the finest, even if I do say it myself.
Mr. Oldacre wishes you to handle his affairs, MacFarlane.
Me, sir? But surely you'd prefer Mr. Graham.
Lock, stock, and timber store. Well, what do you say?
What about the President Morillo case?
Ex-president.
Oh, ex-president, then. The Tiger of San Pedro. Yeah, you really considered that routine?
Certainly.
Voodoo sacrifices in Isha.
Ah, but carried out by a voodoo worshipper. Hmm? Therefore, routine. Now, if it had been the local vicar...
do sit down, Mr. Oldacre. Here.
All right, thanks, sir. Thanks, lad. Well, it's a bit different from old man Graham's, isn't it?
Mm. Mr. Graham is the senior partner. He's been with this firm over 40 years.
Loyalty to your employer. Excellent. Mind you, I expected as much.
You know me, sir?
Well, don't you know me? I thought you recognised my name.
I wasn't sure if you were the same man.
Oh, aye.
Well, then, yes, sir, I do know you. Or at least I know of you, from my parents.
Mentioned me, have they? Well, what did they say?
Only that you were an acquaintance of theirs many years ago, but your lives are drifted apart.
Well, that's no more than the truth. Now, let's get down to business, lad. Look at this.
Thank you.
There's a draft of my will. I want you to cast it into proper legal shape.
Certainly.
I'd like you to see to it while I wait.
Of course.
It shouldn't take you long. There's only one main provision.
Only one?
That's right, lad. I'm leaving everything to you.
With Moriarty in the field, one's morning paper presented infinite possibilities. As often it was the The smallest trace, the faintest indication. Yet it was enough, see? A great, malignant brain was there. I could feel him, Watson. Sense him. You know how the gentlest tremor at the edge of the web can tell of the spider at the center? Mm. Well, so it was with petty thefts, wanton assaults, and senseless outrages. To me, they could all be worked into one connected whole.
So with Moriarty at its heart.
To the scientific student of the higher criminal world, no city in Europe offered the same advantages as London. And now...
You'll forgive me for saying so, but it is all thanks to you.
Well, that should appeal to your literary sensibilities, at least. Dramatic irony. And on that subject...
Yes?
My dear fellow, I'm sorry to say that there must be no more stories.
Holmes?
For the present, at least. No more... Yeah, adventurous exploits in the Strand magazine. It has to stop.
Thank you, Mrs. Lexington.
Yes, thank you.
Will you be requiring anything further, sir?
No, that'll be all.
Very good, sir. Gentlemen.
Cigar, lad.
No, thank you.
Just as you like. Oh, sorry you had such a job finding the place. My fault entirely.
Oh, no, sir.
Oh, I should have told you to look out for the timber yard next door. Not too many of those things in this neck of the woods, eh?
Oh. No, indeed.
Any road, you're here now. That's what matters. It was good of you to come out at such short notice. I won't be easy in my mind until you've been through all the books and such.
I understand.
Recovered from your little shock this afternoon, have you?
Well, only just, sir. I really must thank
you. No, we've said all that.
Nonetheless, I simply can't understand why...
I told you, lad. I've no family of my own, and I've followed your career with interest.
Well, I'm enormously flattered.
No need to be. It's a business decision like any other. I'm simply putting my money where I know it'll do the most good. Of course, I do hope to be hanging on to it for some time just yet.
Of course.
Right, well, let's go to my study.
I don't know what to say. I know you've never liked my writing, but I didn't realize...
No, Watson. Your merits as a purveyor of romantic fiction have nothing to do with this.
Then why, for heaven's sake?
I no longer seek the applause.
Well...
I'm sorry.
I have it in me to make my name famous.
The Jefferson Hope case. The words of a different man.
Oh, surely not. Well, younger, of
different,
course.
Different. I have other goals now.
And they lie in different directions.
They do.
The inner world rather than the outer.
Exactly. Perceptive of you.
I've been reading up. The Far East. Tibet. Buddhism.
Yes, of course.
You knew?
No, but I'm not surprised. Always thorough. Eh, Watson?
I try. And I've had a good teacher.
Always thorough. And so you'll understand my desire. No more public pronouncements about myself, my methods, and my successes.
That's the last one.
And everything's in order?
Perfectly. If I may say so, sir, your business seems to be doing exceedingly well.
Hard work and careful planning, lad. That's what you need in this life. Hard work and careful planning.
I'm sure that's true.
Depend on it. So, are we done?
I must just reseal the deeds.
Of course you must. You'll find what you need in the second drawer there.
Oh, yes. Splendid.
That's the word, lad. Couldn't be better.
You said for the present.
I did.
Then when?
Well, possibly when I retire.
Oh,
retire. It will be years away.
Well, perhaps. But for now, no more publicity.
Well, if that is truly what you want.
You agree?
I agree.
Oh, thank you, my friend. You will continue to assist me.
That, if I permitted.
Watson, you're invaluable to me in ways far beyond the literary. Continue to keep your notes, by all means. Continue with the writing.
What, you mean stockpile the stories for the future?
Exactly. And then you can release them en masse to your adoring public.
They're not my public. You're the one they want to read about. I only put myself in for contrast.
Well, I've no doubt you know best. Now, the day will come, Watson. Never doubt it. Now, for the present, think of it as maintaining the archives.
Yes. Maintaining the archives. Yeah, I suppose it has an interesting ring to it.
Mind you, the way things are at the moment, you'll be lucky to find any case that justifies your time and your talent. petty, humdrum routine.
Happened?
I can't find Mr. Oldacre.
He's not back in the house.
No, I'm certain of it.
That smell. Oh, my good God.
It's all yours now, Inspector Lestrade, but do be careful. The structure's none too safe.
Right. Thank you. Any chance of recovering the body, do you think?
I doubt it. Once those barrels of creosote went up, the heat would have been unbelievable.
Yes, that's what I thought.
He did some work for me once. Nice old chap. Do you know what happened?
Oh, it's cut and dried. There was a straddle in the study. Oldacre was done to death with a heavy walking stick and his body was dragged out here.
Oh, God.
You can see the marks.
Any idea who did it?
Oh, yes. I know exactly who did it. And why.
I take it there's nothing in this morning's papers either.
Of course not.
You won't mind if I decide for myself. Hello. Who on earth can that be? They're that anxious. It might be something interesting.
Yes, about as interesting as today's papers.
Oh, really, Holmes? You haven't so much as touched them.
I didn't need to.
Something else you learned in Tibet, is it? There's no carriage outside.
Then our caller came on foot or in a cab.
I believe I could have told you that.
A man, young, out of condition, probably under 5'6".
I'm sorry. You mustn't blame me. I'm nearly mad. I am the unhappy John Hector Macfarlane.
Mr. Macfarlane, I'm sure that with your symptoms, the doctor here would prescribe a sedative. Have a cigarette.
No, thank you.
Yes, you mentioned your name as if I should recognize it. But I assure you that beyond the obvious facts that you're a bachelor, a solicitor, a Freemason, and an asthmatic, I know nothing whatever about you.
But how could you... Yes, I am all that, Mr. Holmes. And in addition, I am the most unfortunate man in London. Oh, for heaven's sake, don't abandon me.
Have a seat, Mr. Macfarlane. Oh,
thank you. Mr. Holmes, all I want is a chance to tell the truth. Pray God I have time to tell my story before they come to arrest me.
Arrest you? Mr. Macfarlane, this is most gratifying, most interesting. Pray... tell us everything.
Good work, Constable.
Sir?
Fancy going there. He's a cool one, all right. But it's not going to do him any good. All the theories in the world aren't going to prove me wrong this time.
Well, Mr. Macfarlane, from what you say, there does seem to be more than enough evidence to justify your arrest. How is it that you're still at liberty?
I didn't go home last night.
Ah.
My business with Mr. Oldacre didn't finish until well past midnight, so I stayed at an hotel in Norwood and came straight up to town from there. The police wouldn't have been able to find me.
Mr. McFarlane, forgive me, but how do you actually know about all these clues pointing to you?
Yes, an excellent question. In fact, how do you know about any of this business? The fire, the murder?
But, well, haven't you seen it? It's in this morning's Telegraph.
Oh.
Quick work on their part. Yes, here it is. Mysterious affair at Lower Norwood.
There's nothing there I haven't told you.
What?
It's quite right.
Yes.
Oh, no, there is one thing. The conduct of the investigation has been left in the experienced hands of Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard, who is following up the clues with his accustomed energy and sagacity.
Neither of which will help him much if he doesn't know where you are.
But he does. I'm sure he does. When I saw that report, I was so upset that I couldn't think clearly. I went to my office.
Well, Lestrade certainly had a man waiting for you.
There was a policeman in uniform outside the door. I stopped some yards away and turned round at once, but I know he saw me. I tried to shake him off.
Steady, Mr. McFarlane. If he'd followed you straight here, we'd have known about it by now.
Yes, unless he made sure you were safely inside and reported back to Lestrade, in which case...
Ah, yes.
Mr. Holmes!
Do not despair, Mr. McFarlane.
Here. Drink this. Oh,
thank you. Mr. Holmes... You do believe me. You must believe me. I could go to jail happy if I knew that you were working for me outside. Oh.
Good morning to you, Inspector.
Lestrade, would you care for some coffee?
Mr. John Hector McFarlane?
Yes.
I arrest you for the willful murder of Mr. Jonas Oldacre of Lower Norwood.
Oh.
One moment, Lestrade. A few more minutes can't make any difference. Oh. I'd like to ask Mr. McFarlane a few questions.
Mr. Holmes, there
they
is no
need... They
might
help to clear up this affair.
I don't think there'll be any difficulty in clearing it up.
Nonetheless, with your permission.
Well, it's true you have been of use to the force in the past. We owe you a good turn.
You're very kind.
But I must remain with my prisoner.
Oh, of course.
And I am bound to warn him that anything he may say will appear in evidence against him.
All I ask is that you should recognise the absolute truth.
Have a seat, Lestrade.
Thank you, Doctor.
Now, Lestrade, when my client makes his official statement, you'll find the background to this business quite fascinating.
No doubt.
But for now, I have three specific questions. Firstly, Mr. McFarlane, where do you live?
In Blackheath, with my parents, Torrington Lodge.
Yes, excellent. And why did you leave your walking stick behind when you left Mr. Oldacre's house?
I couldn't find it. Mr. Oldacre said that it was too late to disturb the housekeeper, and he would keep it safe for me until we next met.
Ah, now the will. I presume that the final copy is with Mr. Oldacre's other papers.
That's correct. Yeah. They were scattered all across the study where your client had ransacked the dead man's safe.
No! I swear.
But what became of the rough draft of the will? Mr. Oldacre's original.
I still have it. Here.
Ah, good. Splendid. May I?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Fascinating. Doctor. There are some points about that document. Are there not?
Well, I can read the first few lines and these in the middle of the second page and one or two at the end. They're as clear as print. But the writing in between is very bad, and there are some places where I can't read it at all. Inspector?
Doctor?
Yes, what do you make of it, Lestrade?
Well, what do you make of it?
That it was written in a train. The good writing represents stations, the bad writing movement, and the very bad writing...
Passing over the points.
Exactly. This is curious, isn't it, that a man should draw up so important a document in so haphazard a fashion. Well, don't you find that suggestive, Lestrade?
What I find, Mr. Holmes, is that I've indulged you for quite long enough. Come on, McFarlane. Oh. As far as I'm concerned, this whole business is perfectly obvious.
And it strikes me as being just a trifle too obvious. You don't add imagination to your other great qualities.
Anything more you wish to say, Mr. Holmes?
Not until I've been to Blackheath.
You mean Norwood?
Oh, yes. No doubt that is what I meant.
I'm glad he's dead. May God forgive me, but I'm glad.
Mr. Holmes, Doctor, my wife is terribly upset by this business. She doesn't know what she's saying.
Not know?
I'll show you what I know. I gave this to Jonas Oldacre. It was an engagement present.
You were to be married, Mrs. McFarlane?
Thank heaven I had the sense to turn away from him. I married a better man.
And a poorer.
Robert.
What caused you to change your mind?
His cruelty. Brutal cruelty. He delighted in inflicting pain. Oh, he hid it at first. But when I found out...
Well, what was his reaction?
At the time, very little. But on the day of my wedding to Robert, he returned my present. Well, see for yourself, Doctor.
The man must have been deranged.
Yes, may I?
Yes, here.
Done with a pocket knife. Short-bladed and extremely sharp. And the staining is from concentrated acid.
It's my belief that I was very lucky.
Lucky, madam?
He vented his rage on my photograph, Doctor. It could just as easily have been on my face.
Yeah, Mr. McFarlane, does your son know anything of this?
We just wanted to forget the whole business. We've never told him about it.
But?
It was an accident, years ago. He heard my wife mention Oldacre's name.
But we explained him away. John had no reason to hate him. You must believe that.
I'm afraid it strengthens Lestrade's case.
Yes, if young McFarlane had discovered the truth in some way.
But it would mean his story to us was a complete fabrication.
Mm.
If he's a liar, he's the best I've ever encountered.
And anyway, why come to you in the first place?
To add authenticity.
Mm. I suppose it's not impossible. Mm. Of course, McFarlane Sr. knew the whole story.
Mm. Go on.
He must have remarked how protective he was of his wife.
Yes, I don't think it's likely. Quite apart from anything else, why now? Why not retaliate at the time?
Well, who then? Surely not the housekeeper. What conceivable motive could she have?
I can see none.
Well, then, what's your theory?
Well, let's wait until we visited the scene, assuming that Lestrade and his followers have left us anything to examine.
Well?
Not a thing. If only I'd been here directly after the fire.
That smell will be in the air for days.
Yes, it's certainly distinctive, if somewhat unpleasant.
Somewhat. Takes me right back to Afghanistan. Have you much more to do out here?
Nothing. Let's go inside.
This is the study, gentlemen. Since the others left, I've not set foot in here, nor let the housekeeper come in and tidy up.
Oh, well done, Robbins. There's hope for the official force yet.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. There, look, you can see the bloodstains, where his head must have hit the wall.
Yeah. Not much more than smears.
No, Doctor, but definitely blood. And fresh, too, same as on the murder weapon.
Yes, if you'll just excuse me.
I suppose there's no doubt that the stick does belong to McFarlane.
Oh, none, sir. He identified it straight away, no hesitation at all.
Yeah. Your thoughtfulness has paid off, Constable.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, footmarks, still visible, on the carpet. Two men, no more.
Well, yes, sir, of course. Mr. Oldacre and McFarlane.
Did you think there might be a third person?
Well, it was a possibility.
Yes, and what are these?
That's just about all that we found in the ashes, sir.
Yes, metal buttons, trouser buttons, marked... Hyams.
The late gentleman's tailor.
Yes.
Were there any organic remains?
Not many, Doctor. A few of the smaller bones, that was about it.
I wonder why they were destroyed with the rest.
Oh, hand or foot missed when the creosote was poured over the body. These documents, have any been removed?
No, sir. The inspector was most particular.
Good for Lestrade. And they were found exactly like this, scattered across the desk.
Yes, sir. Thrown there when McFarlane rifled the safe.
Ah, yes, the safe. The Majestic Royale. Are you familiar with this model, Constable?
I'm afraid not, sir.
The Majestic Royale. Case-hardened steel, multiple locking pins, resettable combination, and patented secret compartment.
That's damned clever. Oh, begging your pardon, gentlemen.
Yeah, you're quite right, Constable. And in this instance, damned interesting, too.
Oh, I must take charge of those papers, sir. They might be important evidence.
Constable, surely it can't hurt if Mr. Holmes just has a brief look.
Well, sir,
Yeah, thank you.
Anything important?
Yes,
Possibly. There you are, Robbins. I'd like to speak to the housekeeper now.
Yes, sir. I let that man in at 9:30. I wish my hand had withered before I'd done it.
How did your late employer greet him?
Very cordially, sir. They had supper together and then went into the study. That was the last time I saw poor Mr. Oldacre alive.
Did you hear any sounds of disagreement from the study? Raised voices, blows?
I wouldn't, sir. My room is at the front of the house.
Yes. What time did you go to bed?
10:30.
It was warm last night. Your window was open?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear any sounds from outside? Someone coming onto the property from the road, perhaps?
Sir, no one came here last night. I can swear to it. No one but Mr. McFarlane.
It's all going wrong.
Combe!
As wrong as it can go.
No, it's not damaged, thank goodness.
No.
I've written up my notes.
Let's go over it between us. All my instincts are one way and all the facts are another. And British juries haven't yet developed enough intelligence to prefer my theories over Lestrade's facts.
This business about a third person. Someone coming to the house from the street.
Well, there are tramps in that district.
Tramps?
Yes. One passes the study window on his way to the back door, say. What does he see? Two men working on documents that are evidently valuable. Exit the solicitor, enter the tramp. He seizes the stick, kills Oldacre, and departs after burning the body.
Why should he burn the body?
For that matter, why should McFarlane?
It's not a very strong case.
It's not a case at all. There was no third man. I know it's all wrong. I feel it in my bones.
Holmes, the court will need evidence. Proof?
There is something that hasn't come out. And that housekeeper knows it.
Shall I go through what you said?
There is one curious point.
Oh, yes?
Yes, those hidden papers, the genuine accounts.
You mean the papers McFarlane saw were fakes?
Well, some of them were, certainly. The late gentleman's business wasn't doing as well as our client had been led to believe. The state of his bank balance was surprisingly low, principally due to a series of large checks paid to a Mr. Cornelius.
Blackmail?
Yes, very large. Checks, and there were also a good many unpaid bills.
How did you know there were documents hidden in the safe?
I didn't until I looked.
But you asked young Robbins if any papers had been taken away. You knew some were missing.
That was a different matter entirely. There were references to some valuable deeds. They weren't there. There's no good talking about it anymore, Watson. Not tonight.
Just as you like. Perhaps there'll be some new development tomorrow.
Yes, perhaps. I'm going to bed.
Good night.
I'm afraid that this case will end with Lestrade hanging our client. A triumph for Scotland Yard.
Good morning. Holmes, didn't you get any sleep at all?
Your new development from Norwood.
Important fresh evidence to hand. McFarlane's guilt definitely established. Advise you
to abandon case.
Sounds serious.
It's Lestrade's little cock-a-doodle of victory.
Look, let's have some breakfast.
No food for me.
Holmes, you must eat.
I can't spare any energy for digestion.
Very well, I'll have a quick bite and then we'll go down to Norwood together and see what we can do. How's that?
Well, Mr. Holmes, have you proved me wrong yet?
I have formed no conclusion whatever, Lestrade.
But I formed mine yesterday, and now it proves to be correct. You don't like being beaten any more than the rest of us do. Well, a man can't expect always to have it his own way. Can he, Dr. Watson? Step this way, if you please, gentlemen. This is where McFarlane's hat and stick were placed when he arrived, and also where he must have come to get his hat after the murder. Now look, there.
A blood stain.
More than just a blood stain, Doctor. I take it you have your magnifying glass with you, Mr. Holmes? Take a look at that.
Very well.
You are aware that no two thumb marks are alike.
I have heard something of the kind.
Doctor, would you?
If I must.
Now, would you please compare that mark with this print of McFarland's right thumb? And that, I think, is final.
Yes, you're quite right, Lestrade. It is final. Well, who would have thought it? Such a nice young man to look at. Well, it's a lesson to us not to trust our own judgment, isn't it, Lestrade?
Yes, some of us are a little too much inclined to be cocksure, Mr. Holmes.
What a providential thing that he should press his right thumb against the wall as he took his hat from the peg. Such a very natural action, too. Who made this remarkable discovery?
It was the housekeeper. She drew the night constable's attention to it.
So where was this constable stationed?
In the study, to see that nothing was touched.
But why didn't you find this mark yesterday?
We had no particular reason to look just there.
No, of course not. I suppose there's no doubt that the mark was there yesterday.
Holmes?
Well, perhaps you believe that Macfarlane escaped from jail in the dead of night and came back here purely to strengthen the evidence against himself. But I'm a practical man, Mr. Holmes. If you've any more theories to propound, you'll find me in the sitting room, writing up my report.
Oh, this is a very sad development, Watson, don't you agree?
Holmes, for pity's sake.
Sorry. My dear fellow, forgive me. The fact is that there's only one really serious flaw in Lestrade's vital new evidence. Yeah. Come along. Let's take a little stroll in the sunshine.
What an invigorating day. And what a most interesting house, don't you agree? Yes, a fascinating sample of our noble architectural heritage.
Holmes, I wish you'd tell me what all this is about.
Soon, my dear fellow, soon. Come along.
Holmes, you've examined this wretched house from the basement to the attic.
An astute piece of observation, Doctor.
Now, look. I know perfectly well that something's happened, and that you've seen something or thought of something that I've missed, and I don't mind. In fact, I'm delighted, because I thought it was all up with our client, but would you please tell me what is going on?
There are unique features about this case, Watson. I believe it's time that we took friend Lestrade into our confidence.
What do you mean, our confidence?
Ah, Lestrade, my dear fellow.
Mr. Holmes?
You're writing your report.
As I said.
Well, don't you think it may be a little premature? I can't help thinking your evidence is incomplete.
What do you mean?
Well, only that there's one important witness you haven't seen yet.
Can you produce this witness?
I think I can.
Then do so.
I'll do my best. Yes. How many men do you have here?
There are three within call.
Three, excellent. And are they all large, able-bodied men with powerful voices?
I've no doubt they are. Though I fail to see what their voices have to do with anything.
Well, perhaps I can help you to see that, and one or two other things as well.
Do you want me to call them?
If you'd be so kind. Oh, I also need two bundles of straw and a bucket of water. Now, gentlemen, your tasks. Constable Davis, the straw over there, if you please. Safely away from the wall.
Yes, sir.
Now, Watson, stand ready with the matches. Constable Robbins, be so good as to open that window slightly less than halfway.
Yes, sir.
Hold it, Robbins.
Inspector?
I don't know if you're playing a game with us, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, but if you know anything, why can't you just say it without all this tomfoolery?
I assure you, Lestrade, that I have an excellent reason for everything I do. You had your moment when the sun was on your side of the hedge, so you mustn't grudge me a little pomp and ceremony now.
Get on with it, Robbins.
Sir!
Admirably done. Now, Watson, I give you my word. The final act is about to begin.
Uh-huh.
A light to the straw.
Very well.
And now, might I ask you all to join me? Fire! Well, come along, gentlemen.
Fire!
Thank you. I'll trouble you once again. One, two, three. Fire! Just one more. Louder, louder, all together. One, two, three.
Fire! Fire!
What the devil?
Good Lord!
Capital. Lestrade, allow me to present you with your missing witness, Mr. Jonas Oldacre.
Jonas Oldacre? What's this, then? What have you been doing?
I've done no harm.
No harm? You've done your best to get an innocent man hanged. If it wasn't for this gentleman here, I'm not sure that you wouldn't have succeeded. Davis! White! Take him downstairs!
No, sir.
Let go of me!
Come on, Mr. I've done nothing. Come on.
Let's see where this rat has been lurking.